It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool scene at the start of the race at Talladega yesterday. We're going to talk to Jamie Little, who was a part of the broadcast, a little bit later in the show. That's coming up later here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We now say hello to Michael Russo. At Russo Hockey, covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic, and he is now on the line with us. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, just wanted to let you know that here in Nashville, we've been thinking about you guys and what's been going on in your city and your area. And what has it been like to see all this unfold over the last 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, it's been tough. Things have started to settle down. And as we're seeing across the country ever since, there have been protests and things like that. But man, it was during that time here, it was absolutely devastating, especially somebody like me that lived in downtown Minneapolis for 12 years and been in all these communities where, peaceful protests were going on, but then also a lot of destruction. And, I think that we're starting to see change here across the country and in the sport that I cover. Now suddenly everybody's starting to speak out and support something that one of the Wild players, JT Brown, has been, for years trying to bring attention toward, and that is racial injustice and police brutality. And now suddenly, you're seeing things in hockey, like the Hockey Diversity Alliance and all sorts of cool fundraisers that black and white players are putting together. And, this time we'll see actual change here and maybe at least something good came out of this.
Hockey is for Everyone is an initiative that we've certainly talked a lot about here on this show, trying to open things up, as you mentioned. How do you think moving forward, and Nashville has certainly had their fair share of African-American players in Seth Jones and P.K. Subban. I mean, the list goes on. I don't need to go through them all. We've really enjoyed covering them, getting to know them over the years, and just talking about the growth in hockey and helping, what we're talking about. What do you think, how far do you think, you've been doing this for a while, how far do you think hockey has come, and how much are you encouraged, or are you encouraged moving forward that things can truly get much better on a lot of fronts?
Yeah, I am. I think it's been slow. There's no doubt about it. I brought up the JT Brown incident that happened in Tampa. Mm-hmm. When he played with Tampa, it happened actually in South Florida where he raised his fist on the bench, and there was a lot of silence. I don't think anybody went after him, but even Gary Bettman at the time said, look, I support peaceful protesting, but there's a time and place to do it and not during games. And now all of a sudden the NHL is all hopping on board here. I think a lot of the reason for that is that nothing's going on. There's no hockey being played. There's not a game to prepare for tomorrow, where a lot of other incidents, a lot of racial incidents that have happened in the sport of hockey has been mostly brushed aside or people forget about it. I mean, you look at the Akeem Alou public acknowledgement basically in November of what was going on with Bill Peters. Nobody really talked up during that time as they are now. So hopefully more and more players and the league as a whole begin to support this initiative. Because the one thing that I do think is, I've covered this sport for 25 years, and I can name you, 20, 25 players total probably that I've covered that are black. From Joe Ward to Peter Worrell to Stewart Brothers and players like that to Dumba and Greenway. And I think that we need to make this sport more accessible to people of all races, colors, religions, genders, everything, because this is an incredible sport that we're part of. But unfortunately, I think that it's just very, very hard for a lot of people to embrace and to eventually wind up playing. And so, that's one thing that I think the Hockey Diversity Alliance is going to try to do, is to figure out a way to advance diversity in the sport of hockey at all levels.
Well said. Yesterday, Columbus and your city was eliminated from the hub city, potential hub city, for a return to play for the NHL. There were 10 cities on that list, Minneapolis/St. Paul, and Columbus were two of those 10. They were eliminated yesterday. Surprised? Not surprised.
Not surprised. You know, the second the league tried, you know, really determine with the players that they needed to make these hub cities in places where they could create really good environments for these players that could last two and a half months. Actually, I was frankly surprised that Nashville didn't suddenly become the leading front runner, right?
So were we.
You know, I know. I mean, you know, if they weren't worried about these players flocking down to Broadway during this bubble, I think that Nashville would have been a guaranteed thing. But, you know, the second, you know, look, I live in Minnesota. I love Minnesota. But players would just, for two and a half months, if they had to be stuck in the St. Paul Hotel or one of the hotels in downtown Minneapolis, and couldn't go anywhere, I think that they would go crazy. And it's the same thing. You know, Columbus has that awesome Hilton and the Hyatt right by the arena. But again, it's, you know, it's you know, sort of a tight hotel. You're confined to your rooms and things like that. And I think they're worried about the psyche of these players 2 months into it. So, you know, a lot of people, when I tweeted that Minnesota was officially informed yesterday that they were out, and I reported this 2.5 weeks ago that they were mostly out, I think a lot of people thought it had to do with the leadership and here in Minnesota, the George Floyd incident, the unrest that happened here. And it really was more the fact that the league just looked at Minnesota and said, you know what, we've got to create a really good environment for these players to be in. And that's why suddenly, you know, Vancouver, L.A., Chicago actually appeared, you know, as front runners, you know, or at least hit the level of front runners with Vegas. Because what you could do is you could create almost like an entertainment district for these players that the league would literally own and operate, like LA Live. And these players, if you're in there for a month, month and a half, at least there are things to do, there are places to go where you don't feel like you're just confined to staring at the walls of your hotel room. Now, the second to Canada pretty much made it very clear that they would lift the 14-day quarantine rule for players coming into that country, you knew the league wasn't going to go through that process, make an entire nation change its rule and not go there. So Canada, at a minimum, will be one of the hubs. Vancouver and Edmonton are the front runners, but because of the reasons that I just listed, I think Vancouver is the front runner of those two. And then Vegas is obviously the big front runner because you could take a huge hotel like Park MGM or Vidara, put the players in, you know, own and operate multiple restaurants, have golf excursions, have, you know, literally own a movie theater where the players can go to and the general public can't. And that's one big reason why they're doing this, because they're worried about what if, you know, a team that is in the playoffs, that is actual Stanley Cup contender, is still in this hub a month, month and a half, 2 months, and what are they going to be like if they feel like they're looking out their window on the strip and see thousands and thousands of people living their daily life, having fun, but they're still stuck in this bubble because the NHL is not going to get rid of this tight bubble they're going to have these players live in.
Michael Russo on the line with us covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic. The Predators and Wild struck a trade back at the deadline in 2019, last year, and Predators sent Kevin Fiala, who we got to know well when he was here, to Minnesota for Mikael Granlund. And I think it's fair to say, and I'll be curious your answer, that both of them, because Minnesota and Nashville were playing each other a lot down the stretch before everything came to a screeching halt, that both were playing their best hockey since the trade. Do you agree with that? And why do you think it took a while for both of them to kind of get on a hot streak?
Yeah, I think it was tough. I mean, you know, I remember when Granlund got to Nashville, his wife literally gave birth that day.
Yeah.
So he was actually late arriving, and then all of a sudden you're living out away from your family, your newborn. I think it was tough for Mikhail to really get going there in Nashville. And same thing here, you know, Fiala came, he's coming to a new organization for the first time, and then all of a sudden he has a little bit of an injury. This year it really started tough for Fiala again. Tough love between Bruce Boudreau and Kevin Fiala. He scratched a couple games, same thing hurt. And then once the calendar flipped to November, he just became a totally different player. Then once the calendar flipped to February, he became an absolute star for the Wild. 14 goals, 12 assists in his last 18 games. He scored the last goal with the Wild in overtime in Anaheim before the pause, and just absolutely looked like the game breaker that Paul Fenton, the old assistant GM for the Nashville Predators that was the GM that made that trade with David Poile at the time with Minnesota, thought that he was getting here in Minnesota. So Fiala looks like he has the ability to be a stud. And then Granlund just got really good down the stretch for Nashville. And now it's an interesting quandary that David Poile is going to have to make whenever the offseason arrives, and that's whether or not he resigns Granlund, who is a pending unrestricted free agent.
No question about it. Mike Russo is with us, does a great job for The Athletic covering the Minnesota Wild. And Mike is a guy that has stayed many a night at the St. Paul Hotel. I had this vision you just put up there. I do love the wild rice soup that they have in the hotel restaurant. It's really good, but I don't know if I could do it for two straight months. It would get old just like everything else, I would say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's not like Nashville. Like I've stayed in some of those hotels in Nashville, like that new Westin and the JW and the Omni there. And, I mean, they're just amazing hotels there. I think I've told you guys this before, but I actually covered the first ever Nashville Predators game. And their first two exhibition games, because I covered the Florida Panthers at the time, and their first exhibition games, I believe, were in Huntsville, Alabama,
yes,
and Pensacola, Florida, against the Florida Panthers. And then the first ever game was a riveting 1-0 Nashville loss against the Florida Panthers in 1998. So I have a soft spot for the Predators. I've been going there for a long, long, long time. If I was the NHL, I would actually switch it up and, at least for the beat writers' perspectives, bring hockey to Nashville in these hubs.
Well, Mike, it's interesting you mentioned both Columbus and Minnesota got the word yesterday that they will not be the hub cities. You guys wrote a piece. It's a really good piece on the expansion draft of 2000. This is the anniversary of it,
yeah.
I guess, 20-year anniversary. Nashville had gone through it 2 years before, and then Atlanta was the following year, the four new teams that kind of came in the same round of expansion. And we have lamented to this day. I mean, we didn't know any different at the time, but when you compare what was available in the expansion draft then compared to what Seattle is going to get and what Vegas got, it's unbelievable. It is night and day.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Aaron Portzline, my colleague at The Athletic in Columbus, and I teamed up on this story, and then we're doing another story tomorrow. But you're right. I mean, not only was the rules ridiculous that the Wild and the Columbus Blue Jackets had to pick 3-4 in the entry draft, but you look at the rules that took place in the expansion draft compared to what Vegas just dealt with, and it was absolutely night and day. I mean, first of all, you couldn't make really trades with either team because you had two teams in there. But just to give you a great example is that I think it was Minnesota and Columbus combined 11. They had 11 and 12 players that played respectively for their teams out of the expansion draft. 10 defensemen alone and 19 players played for Vegas that they got in the expansion draft. And plus, with one team there and a very different rules there, George McPhee, the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights at the time, now he's the team president, he was able to really manipulate the process and make a lot of trades with a lot of teams. The one team that actually he really didn't make trades with, I think, was Nashville. Because Nashville went with the 8-skater rule here, but I mean, you know, he was able to manipulate the process where he got from Florida Marchessault and Riley Smith, Shea Theodore from Anaheim. He got William Karlsson out of Columbus. He got both Alex Tuch and Eric Halla out of Minnesota. All these teams making trades to basically protect assets on their team that they thought they were making the smart decision. And now when Seattle comes into play here next year, you got to wonder if the teams will do those same things or they'll just be like, here's a pick of your litter, take whoever you want, but we're not going to give you good quality young assets to protect somebody else. So the rules that Minnesota and Columbus had to deal with, plus the other thing, as you mentioned, because Atlanta and Nashville had just come in, really the talent pool that was in the expansion draft was beyond thinned out. So it was pretty much picked dry, as Doug McClain said.
They did pretty well, considering Minnesota in particular. You know, they did a pretty good job developing over a fairly short period of time, as I recall. Mike, I want to ask you, you've had a really good rapport with a lot of the players for the Wild. Just as you talk to them through this process, as the guys start to get ready, some of them maybe coming back over in the next several days from Europe, et cetera, how their feeling is. I know that you guys put out an article the last couple of days that you had some anonymous players not too sure about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the positive tests that have happened in the last couple of days that the NHL has announced, the 11 positives, is alarming. But I think that we're all pretty much realize that as more and more players get tested, it's just going to become inevitable that there are going to be more positive tests. I think where the concern comes along is what happens when we're closer to phase three, is if there is an official return to play vote, and how teams in the league will handle positive tests in training camp, and then when closer when they get to the bubble. I think that's going to be the big adventure. You know, on July 28th, if Sidney Crosby tests positive for COVID, how are they going to handle this? Is he really going to sit out of the Penguins lineup for 2 weeks? It's just going to be fascinating to watch. But from a Minnesota Wild perspective, you know, I cover a veteran-laden team, a team with a bunch of 30-somethings. I think the Minnesota Wild lead the NHL in children. I mean, last year...
The Predators have caught up, I think, couple of years. They've got a lot of youngsters,
Yeah, I know. They've made a lot of trades, guys like Granny and people like that. So I think they've gone from, like, 40 kids to, like, I think 30. But still, you know, these guys don't want to leave their families for, you know, weeks upon weeks upon weeks. Now, as I put that out once, and, you know, Wild haters have noted, well, really, the Minnesota Wild are going to have to go leave their families for 7 days. But the point being is that the Wild are going to, you know, typically lose out early. So a lot of the Wild players are those veteran players that are just not fond of this whole return to play thing and think, what's the point? I think the deal is now is that Donald Fehr and the Players Association is trying to intertwine a new collective bargaining agreement that could really work on maybe making escrow a lot more palatable for these players here because of the damage being done to the NHL this year with the COVID stoppage, and then intertwine that with the return to play. And the second that that disappears, if the league cancels the season, now all that leverage that the PA has on a potential new CBA goes out the window. So that's one big reason right now you're seeing the union really try to push their own players to eventually here in the next week or so probably come up with a vote that's going to return to play. And then we'll see if the league can pull it off. I mean, as you know, just watching TV, you see what's going on in Florida and Arizona and the hotspots now with COVID, and it's going out west and in places that could be potential hubs, and how that affects things. We'll see. But right now, you know, I think it's pretty much you have a lot of players that are on the fence on what they want to do. And certainly a lot of guys from the Minnesota Wild are some of those players.
Michael, real quick on the way out, how do you think, and I know this is tough to answer, but I just want to get your opinion. How do you think we're going to be able to cover the sport moving forward? Because, you know, Willie on this show does a stand-up right in front of the boards on television with a player. I do second period intermission for radio downstairs outside the locker room and a post-game player interview. And I don't know, like, I don't know if any of that stuff will happen moving forward for a good while. How do you think the sport and locker room access and all of that, how do you think that's going to work?
I totally am worried with you. I mean, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't think that anytime soon we're going to get anywhere close to a player. So that's going to be really interesting. You know, the NHL, I think, needs coverage like no other sport out there. So that's, I know, on their mind, but they also need to, especially if they're going to pull off return to play this summer, they're going to have to come up with a way to really protect this bubble and probably keep us out. And so, you know, what I think the league is going to do is to announce a process that's going to allow some of us to cover games in the hub cities. But the question is, our outlets, your radio station, The Athletic for me, are they going to invest a ton of money to send us to Vancouver or Vegas or LA or Chicago, whatever it is, for weeks on end to cover games in person, if then after the fact we're going to have to do a Zoom call with the same players in the same arena that the same reporters are going to get on their couches at home, then it's going to be up to our outlets to decide whether or not they can pay for that. But I'm very concerned about it. I will tell you this, and, you know, not to get into a whole COVID debate, but I'm doing a story this week with the head of COVID really at Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota, in Rochester. And the one thing that he points out is that he sees no reason why reporters wearing masks, if you're talking to a player wearing a mask and you're social distancing, why that can't get done. And he brought up that the exposure between healthcare workers and patients at the Mayo Clinic, ever since they basically said that all players, all patients, and all healthcare workers have to wear masks, gloves, and things like that, the exposure between the two has gone down completely. They have had no contracted cases at Mayo Clinic between patient and healthcare workers since they've implemented this rule. So he said, if it's good enough for a hospital, why is it not good enough for the National Hockey League? But So maybe that's something we worry about next season. I can tell you that right now, coming into this summer, there's just no way we're going to probably get near these players. But hopefully down the line, once, you know, we get closer to a vaccine or things start to die down, hopefully by the wintertime when next season begins, that they'll figure out a way that allow us to actually interview these players like we're good, like we know how to do, because that's how we get the great stories to the passionate fans that root for the Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild and all that.
No doubt. Interesting stuff. Hey, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it. You guys continue to be safe up there, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Yep, thank you too, guys.
All right, that is Michael Russo, covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic and does a really good job doing it. He's done it for more than two decades, and his Twitter account is @RussoHockey. You ought to click follow. It's free and easy, and he is a good follow. A lot to digest there. We will come back and talk about some of the things you just heard and discuss it to close out the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.